Well, Steve Myers and I go way back to a time of probably around 40 years ago. I guess it was around 1984, 85 area. And he and I were in the same church over in England. We were both in the Air Force, stationed at a little base called Bentwaters or Woodbridge. We were both together, and there was a church there that was composed mostly of GIs and their families. And it was a really good going church and did a lot of really great things with influencing young men to pursue the ministry. And so we overlapped by just a few months. I think he was on his way out when I was on my way in. And I got to know Steve a little bit while I was there. And then many of his friends and colleagues ended up being my friends and colleagues as well, and had a really major influence on my life, because guys of my age and my situation in life were really taking the Lord seriously. And they were thinking about ministry. And at one time, we had a group of probably 12 to 15 guys who were at least interested in ministry or pursuing the ministry in some way. And just this morning, Steve got in contact with a guy named Mike, who is also in that same category. And he's been a pastor now in various places for all these years. And out of that, whatever, 12 to 15 guys, I think we're the only three that are still in the ministry now after whatever it's been 40 years. Some of these other guys who are part of that group, I think, have been in and out of the ministry over the years. But as far as persisting, either Steve being a missionary, Mike being a pastor, me being a pastor, being in it all these years later, out of that 12 or 15 guys, I think we're about the only ones. But it was a wonderful time in my life, really very instrumental in setting the tone and the direction of my life. And I think that's the same for Steve as well. Of course, he was saved in that environment. I had been saved as a kid, but still really channeled into ministry through that. So it's been my privilege to be associated with and knowing Steve and keeping track of his ministry for many years. And we're grateful for the years that the Lord has given him to serve in South Africa. So, Steve, go ahead and come on up and let us have what the Lord's put on your heart.
Well, the one thing about that church there, at one time we had, I think there was over 40 people surrendered to the ministry. But God got a hold of people's hearts. And again, it was my first time away from home at Christmas time, but when we had Christmas over there, it was like being with family. And that's the one thing I'm really grateful. That church, even though the English people speak English, their culture is different than ours. And so that church became my family. And so I didn't miss a heartbeat when Christmas came around, Thanksgiving, any of the holidays. Our church, we just got together. And so I am very grateful for that. And when I got saved, my life had changed so much, my parents had to come over to see what happened. They thought I might have joined a cult. And when they came over, though, I came from a Lutheran background and a Missouri Synod, so more of the conservative Lutherans. But they came over and they saw the church and they saw my life. And my mom said, now I can go home and not have to worry about you anymore. So I was very grateful, because when I was a kid, my nickname was Crazy Man Myers. But my parents didn't know that. But again, it was just like telling Brad. Again, when I was in grade 9, I ran away because they wouldn't let me go snow skiing. So I left a note underneath the bed saying, I'm going to Colorado and I'm not coming back. But God had a blizzard and turned the bus around, and I had to come back. Then for my 18th birthday, I got arrested and spent the night in jail. And I thought, oh no, now I just turned 18. Now I can spend time in jail. But then when I went to my court hearing, they never called my name out. And I found out 2 years later, a guy that was in my Lutheran church knew the guy that arrested me. They went to Wichita State University together. And when they were out on Friday night, he told him he had arrested this guy from the West Side. And this guy from my church said, oh, I'm from the West Side. Who was it? And when he said my name, he said, oh, he's a nice guy. So he went back up to the police station and he took my file and he tore it up. So when I went from my hearing, they never called my name out. And I never found out. I never knew why. But again, it's just like you look back and you see how God delivered you. And, you know, if I would have been successful in running away, I might not be here today. If I had been successful and going to jail, you know, I might not be here today. I probably wouldn't be here today. But again, God, he's got a plan. And we just need to be ready to do his plan. And here we go in Luke chapter 8. Again, when I had surrendered to the ministry, again, 95% of all Christian workers in America were working with 5% of the world's population. So a missionary had spoken, so I said, Lord, I don't want to go to the 5%. I'd rather go to the 95%. And I read a book, Battle for Africa, and God led me to South Africa. And we've been there since 91. And God saved me through the mission field. And then on the mission field, I met my wife. She was a part of one of the churches there. So God gave me my salvation, and he gave me my wife. And I'm grateful for that. But again, here we have the parable of the sower. The sower is Jesus Christ, but the sower represents any of God's people who share the word of God. The seed is the word of God. For like seed, the word has life and power. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Again, I just look back in my life how God used the word. Again, when the person asked me about if I died, do I know where I'd spend eternity? Then he showed me Jesus said you must be born again. And he asked me, have you been born again? I said, I never heard about being born again. Even though I grew up in the Lutheran church, I heard about Jesus Christ. I never remember the pastor ever saying anything about being born again. And so, again, when he spoke that word, then it pierced my heart. I realized I'm lost. And again, you think about it, when Jesus was talking to the priest, he's saying, you must be born again. This priest didn't know what he's talking about. It pierced his heart. And he said, what do you mean? I got to go back in my mother's womb and be born? And he said, no, you got to be born of the water and of the spirit. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Again, Jesus brought him back again, because some people taught that water was talking about baptism. But if you look at it in the context, Jesus then says, that which is flesh is flesh. No, when that sack breaks and you know the baby's on its way. And so, again, God was speaking to that man's heart. Hey, you need to be, and his spirit, that you need to be born again. And so the word of God, it's quick and powerful. And it can produce spiritual fruit. It brought about a change in my life. That's why my parents had to come over and see what happened. When I left Wichita, Kansas in 1981, I was involved in drugs and alcohol, smoking cigarettes. And then God got a hold of my heart. I got saved. He changed my life. And then my dad had smoked. He was diabetic, so he couldn't drink much. He might have an occasional beer. And my mom smoked. And so when I got saved, I said, no, you ought to give up that habit. And now my dad had stopped smoking because when he was 53, he had a heart attack. And the doctor said, Mr. Myers, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to die. And we did an ECG. We've seen that you had a couple other heart attacks that you didn't even know you had. And when they told my dad that, when he was faced with that, my dad said, well, I don't want to die. And so he quit smoking and he lived another 25 years. But again, what did he do? He acted upon the word. When a person hears and understands the word, then the seed is planted in the heart. And what happens after that depends on the nature of the soil. Jesus calls it here the parable of the soils. The seed without soil is fruitless, and the soil without seed is useless. The human heart is like soil. If it's prepared properly, it can receive the word of God and can produce a fruitful harvest. And again, just as sharing, again, God did different things in my life to prepare me for that day when that guy asked me that question. When I was a young person, again, I got involved in drugs and alcohol. One time, a friend of mine had stolen some pills from his dad, and then I took the pills, and I drank a half pint of 151, and then I came home, and I passed out. And my sister wakes me up in the morning, and again, I realized, she said, "Steve, what happened?" And then I realized I could have gone into a coma. I could have died. But again, what was happening? I was in bondage. I was a slave to sin because I never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the other thing we need to remember and realize, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside you. But you still have your old nature. And your old nature still wants to do the wrong things. And so that's why you got to be careful of what you allow in the eye gate and the ear gate. Back to that scripture, be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:30, evil communications corrupt good manners. Again, everyone in my church, they know it. They've memorized it because I've said it so many times. Why? Because it's so important. Again, if you're going to live for God, you got to be careful about the company you keep. But the human heart is like soil. It is prepared properly. It will receive the word of God and produce a fruitful harvest. Jesus described four different kinds of hearts, three which did not produce any fruit. The proof of salvation is fruit, not merely hearing the word of God and making a profession of faith in Christ. And that's, again, our problem today. Many people profess Christ, but they don't actually possess Christ. And some people, we think, possess Christ over time through trials and testings in their life. In their life, it reveals that they never had Christ because they walk away. And so, again, the first soil Jesus describes is about the hard soil. The soil represents the person who hears the word of God, but immediately allows the devil to snatch the seed away. And that's what I was as a young person. I remember some of my Baptist friends invited me to activities in their church. Youth activities. And I went to the activity, but they would play the game first. And they play the game, and then they go in and sit in the church. And then when the pastor, a youth pastor started preaching, I said, "Oh, this is boring." And I would sneak out and go away. And so, again, snatched away, taken away the opportunity. If I would have heard the word of God, who knows, maybe God would have saved me back then. But in many parts of Israel, you find it. There's that hard soil. There's a path along the plots, and the people would walk on these paths to get to their plot, toward their garden. Now, if any seed fell on those pathways, it never went in the ground, and it got snatched away. It got blown away, and that's like the hard heart. And again, before September 18, 1981, I guess my heart was hardened. And God just had to do a lot of different things in my life to bring me, to prepare my heart to receive His Word. Whatever goes into the ear or eye finally enters into the heart. So again, we must be careful what we allow to come in our eye gate and our ear gate. And again, that's the thing on TV, most people can't even watch TV anymore because of all the rubbish that's going on. Again, when I go out and visit people's homes and I see they have the TV on, and again, I was, what's going on? What's going in your child's ear gate, eye gate? Again, you got to be careful. Why? Because again, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and that's again. The world is using the medium of TV and other things to change the way we think and believe. And so again, we have to be so careful. And so a young person, maybe your parents are, "Hey, you shouldn't watch that." Again, there's a reason why they're doing that. It's not because they hate you, but they want to protect you. And again, I know my brother's wife, again, when they used to watch things, something came up, again, she would use that as an opportunity to talk and communicate, saying, "Hey, that's not right. And why is that not right?" And so, again, sometimes if you're sitting there and you're watching and things come up, again, you can use that as opportunities to be able to explain and talk to your children about these things. The next one, we have the shallow soil. This soil illustrates the emotional hearer who quickly responds to the message, but his interest wanes and he does not continue. And again, in many parts of Israel, you can find a substratum of limestone that's covered with a thin layer of soil. The shoot can grow up, but the roots cannot go down. And the sun comes up and withers the rootless plant. That sun represents the testing that comes to all professing believers to prove their faith. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you. Now again, that word temptation that's translated temptation does not mean just about sin, but it's a trial or testing of life. Again, somebody in our church, again, their son had gone with a bunch of kids down to Durban, and then they're on their way back. Somebody ran out in front of them on the highway, and when they went to try and miss the person, they rolled the car, and then their son died. Now, again, how do you deal with that? Well, you got to have a right relationship with God. You got, all right, God, you've allowed this to happen. And again, sometimes it's going to take a long time to get over it. But again, we need to give it to God and just ask God to give us that grace. But again, the sun withers the rootless plant. The sun represents the testing that comes to all professing believers to prove their faith. The sun is good for plants if they have roots. Persecution and trials can deepen the roots of a true Christian, but it can only expose the shallowness of false Christians. So again, it's going back to that, the trial of our faith. Temptations, again, reveal what's in or not in our hearts. Again, all the different things that I've gone through in my Christian experience. Again, this last year, and again, I thought I was pretty close to God, and God showed me, you know, you're not as holy and spiritual as you think you are. And again, it showed me, you just got to learn to trust. And now I'm learning about Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, where Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be therewith content. And that's the thing, all these trials and different things that are going on in your life, again, they reveal what's in or not in your heart. And the tragedy is that many times when things aren't going our way, the way that we want them to go, we fall apart. And that's because our vertical relationship isn't right with God. Getting in the Word, I found God's helped me to go through that. I'm helping in Reformers Unanimous. It's a faith-based program to help people get deliverance from addictions and any kind of addiction. Even addiction to potato chips. You see, you can be addicted to potato chips. Well, if you eat too many, it's not good for you. And that's the whole thing about being temperate, being disciplined in our life. Again, some things are not bad for you, but again, if you consume too much, they can be bad. And it can end up affecting your life. And so working there, again, and sharing with these people that come off the street. I decided, well, if I'm going to help in this ministry, I'm going to go through their books too. So I'm learning the verses. One of the verses, Romans chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin reign over your mortal body, that you might obey it in the lust thereof. Again, there's a warning in Romans about, hey, don't let sin reign over you. What is reign? That rule you. And that's the problem in our society for the most part, that sin is reigning over most people. And tragically, even many people that are in the church. And then verse 14, it says, and let not sin have dominion over you. Again, the same part of dominion, power over you. For you're not under the law, but you're under grace. And you think about, what does that mean about being under the law and under grace? See, being under the law is I can't do this. I can't do that. But under grace, it's I don't want to do that. And I don't want to do this. Before, my mom and dad made rules. Oh, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't do drugs. But after I got saved and God got a hold of my heart, my attitude changed. No, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Why? Because grace got a hold of my heart. And see, when we let God's word get a hold of our heart, then he helps us. But we need to ask God to work in our hearts and lives. And then we have the crowded soil, verse 7 and 14. This soil illustrates a person who does not repent and weed out the things that hinder the harvest. There is enough soil so the roots can go down, but not enough room for the plant to grow up and produce fruit. My dad had a garden in the backyard. Before I could go out to the swimming pool in the summertime and go swimming, I had to dig out a bucket of weeds. So my dad worked in the summer. Again, he only got 1 month off. He was the principal, primary school. So when he came home, if I didn't have a bucket of weeds, a bucket full of weeds, then I got a hiding. So I always did that. I went out in the garden. What did I do? I got out all those weeds out of the garden. And so again, what happened? The tomato plants and the other plants, they grew luscious because they were getting all the nutrients from the soil instead of going to these weeds. And it's the same thing with us. Again, if we're going to be a fruitful Christian, then we need to have the right things coming in our life. And we need to put out those weeds that are in our life. And that's the sins of the flesh. But again, we see the plant is crowded out and the fruit is choked. Cares and riches and pleasures of this life are like weeds in a garden that keep the soil from being fruitful. The person with the crowded heart comes closest to salvation, but still does not bring forth fruit to perfection. I remember years ago, I thought about only the one first seed was the one that wasn't a Christian. But over time, I realized, no, the first three seeds here were not truly Christian. And why? Because a real Christian, he'll produce fruit. Why? Because you can't help it. And then we have the good soil. This alone soil alone is fruitful. It illustrates he who hears the word and understands it and receives it within and is truly saved and proves it patiently by producing fruit. I got saved. God got a hold of my heart. Again, the church that we went to, it was a fundamental Baptist church, Sin Hayden's. Yeah. And it had some things were rules of man and not rules of God. But again, those things were in doctrine and put in my heart. But again, when I went from there to Bible college and God started working on my heart, what do you think the Bible says? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So it's important then we know what the scriptures say and we then live out those truths in our life. But when we live out its truths, then we can see fruit come. And so when I got to Bible college again, they had a bus ministry. Well, what is the bus ministry? It's going knocking on doors, bringing people from the far field to come into church to hear the gospel. And again, so I got involved. And wow, I saw seeing people get saved all the time. But what happened? On Saturday, we go to a bus visitation meeting. And that was from 9 to 10, and then we go and visit. In our college, you had to visit 5 hours. So go out and visit for 5 hours. My route I went to pick up my kids at was an hour away. Then visit 5 hours and then an hour back. And again, when I was in Bible college, I was working from 9 o'clock at night to 5 in the morning. So I didn't really have much time to sleep. When I would go home at Christmas time, I would just sleep at Mom and Dad's house and then come back. But again, I was involved producing fruit, reaching people for Christ. And again, what did it do? It cost me a time, talent, and treasure. But when I was looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 8 is about the sower. And again, here it's 23. But he that received the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. And again, that's why I'm glad when I got saved on September 18, 1981, in October we had our first Faith Promise Missions Conference. And then we were challenged about giving to missions. And when the missionary came and spoke that first night, again, every night we were challenged about putting something on a paper and putting it in. And then every night the missionary came and spoke again, kept on challenging me about putting a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. And again, one thing I'd gone in the Air Force, I wanted to do 2 years in Europe and 2 years in Asia, and then put away for university and go to school while I was in the Air Force. But when I got saved, I came and here's the offering plate. I said, all right, these were my dreams, Lord, but here I am. If you want me to continue in the Air Force, I'll continue. If you want me to get out, I'll get out. And after 3 years, he revealed to me that he wanted me to go into the ministry. But again, when I was looking at this, some 30, some 60, some 100%, again, I looked at, here we have a division. And then I looked at the 30-fold person, 30% believer is 30% the way in. Again, they're a person, they're saved and they're tithing. So again, they got saved and then they're tithing. Again, they're helping and reaching their community. Then the 60-fold is a person who's saved, he's tithing, and he's involved in the ministry of the church. And then the 100-fold person, that is someone who's saved, he's tithing, he's serving, and he's giving to missions. And again, little did I know that God, a few years later, would call me into the ministry, and that one day I would be living by the faith promise of others. And the amazing thing was, some of the money I'd been putting away for college, I took part of that and I gave it to missions. And then when I got ready to get out of the military, unfortunately, my grandfather passed away. And again, he left me some money that I didn't know he was going to leave me. And again, that took the money that I gave to missions. He gave it back to me. And that was just like God showing over and over again, Steve, if you'll be faithful, if you'll follow me, I'll take care of you. And you don't have to worry about it. And just surrendering my life to missions again. The things that I went through just to raise my support. I remember going down, I had some flat tires. I go to the church meeting. I find out, all right, the tires are going to cost $299. And 90 cents. And then the offering the church gives me, and then people come up and give me, at the end of it, it was $300. And it's like, I got an extra 10 cents to buy some bubble gum. But again, it was just like God showing me, Steve, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And I just challenge you, about your relationship. The most important thing in your life today is your relationship with Him. And again, with the world the way it's going, if you don't have a relationship, then you're going to end up getting swallowed up. But again, have that time. And again, that's every day I get in the Bible and read the Word and ask God to give me something. And I share a devotion to my people in South Africa and to everyone that's on my WhatsApp. In South Africa, we call it What's Up. When I came to America and I said, What's Up? They said, What's that? So, and that's, WhatsApp. But that's the primary thing that people use to communicate over there. But again, I share devotion. And anyone who gives me that number, I send them my devotion. Whether it's a Muslim, Hindu, any atheist, whatever. Now, and it's kind of funny, the only people that will say something every once in a while is the atheists. They'll tell me, please, I don't want that stuff. But the Hindus and the Muslims, they keep on reading it. So, and actually I found that as a pastor, the Hindus and Muslims treat me better than anybody because they think it'll bring good luck to them, good karma. But again, God has been faithful, and even though now I've surrendered and I've given my life, I give again. I support 40 church planters individually. And why? Because I want to produce fruit. That's why God's brought me here. And again, I tell people, again, the people that I support out of the money I get from my pocket comes from the people here in the States who support me. So again, it's everyone's getting a little bit of that. So I just want you to know, you know, your mission's given that's coming to me is not in vain. You know, it's getting fruit, and again, you'll have eternal rewards for it. And that's what my life's all about. You know, only what's done for Christ will last. So it's my desire to produce as much fruit as I can. And one thing I like to do, I love to sing. So everywhere I go, I sing. And because I have this beard, again, I look like the old white Dutch Afrikaner. And they were the ones that were with apartheid and stuff. So when I'm passing out tracts, sometimes at a cashier, when I'm going out of a store, and I give them, and I see they look at me kind of like, what? But once I start singing, then they open up, and then they take it, and then others will come around. And then pretty soon we'll have all the cashiers in the whole store singing. And again, but it's just a tool to minister the gospel. And one of the songs, Buma nawe, buma, buma, abuma, buma, 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 abumo sendi swe. And that's, you must agree. You must agree to be saved. And then in heaven there are many promises. You must agree to be saved. And so again, it's a reminder, hey, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And again, we're getting closer to the end. So again, just want to challenge, and again, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate your prayers. And again, I pray for my wife. Again, I it's all in God's hands. And she, this year, she's a completely different person because she got off most of those drugs that they had put her on. And she's doing much better. And again, her and a missionary kid, 2 years ago, they'd been watching TV and somebody jumped out of an airplane. And the missionary's kid said, "Wow, I like to do that." And my wife said, "Well, you know, that's something I've always wanted to do too." So she said, "When you turn 18 years old, I'll take you and we can jump out of an airplane together." So in April, she was 63 years old, her and this boy, now he was in tandem with somebody else that was a parachute and someone else, but they both jumped out. And so again, just looking back and thinking, wow, just from a year ago, my wife almost died and now she's jumping out of an airplane. But again, that's what you see, what God can do if we just put our life in His hands. And He's also allowed us to go. Her sister and her husband is an honorary rangers in Kruger National Park. So they do camps in the park. So they had a camp that they were going to do. And then the guy's daughter decided to get married in America. So he said, "Well, I'm flying back and all my family, so we're not going to be able to do this camp." So he said, "Ask us if we wanted to come." So we came to that and did that. And so we were able to do some things. And again, just God just working everything out. And again, if we give everything to God, God will take care of it.